It's Visions Morning Cafe with Karen.
I'm speaking with Annette Spur from mumdaily.com.au, but she's also from Blue Box Media. Good morning, Annette.
Good morning, Karen.
Let's just start with a little bit of a background. Where did you grow up? What was childhood like for you? Tell us a little bit about the early days of Annette Spur.
Sure, wow. Mine's not your regular run-of-the-mill childhood, because I was actually born in the United Arab Emirates.
Really?
Yeah, and because my parents were missionaries over there, and I was actually born at the Oasis Hospital in Abu Dhabi.
Wow.
Yeah, and so I spent the first 5-6 years of my life growing up in the desert, which is quite funny actually, because my husband grew up in the desert as well, but he grew up in Broken Hill. So we're both desert dwellers at heart.
Bit of a contrast though, huh?
Yeah, and then we moved to a little country town in Queensland when we came back to Australia when I was about 6 to Gatton, which is a place close to my heart. And, just had a really regular childhood. I've got 3 brothers, so the only girl in my family. And now I have 2 sons, and even my dog is a male. So I think boys are my lot in life, but I'm happy with that.
Well, God knows what you can handle if you had brothers.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. I absolutely love having my little boys. It suits me to a T.
You know, for me, when I gave birth to my first boy and then a second boy, and I'm like, God, you know I wanted a girl all along. Come on, what's happening? And I really had to take on board the concept of, well, if you've given me the hat to wear where my hubby and I, our job is to raise godly young men in a world where godliness in young men is not as, you know, not as common these days, then, hey, I shall rise to the occasion and with your help do my best.
Yeah, absolutely. And whenever one of my friends has a little baby girl, I absolutely shower her in pink. Because there was a serious lack of pink in my house.
Yeah. And are you a pink girl to wear yourself?
Oh, yeah.
You are.
I'm a very girly girl.
I can't say I am, but that's okay. We're all different. So tell me, going back to Gatton, so was Gatton in Queensland your first schooling years, or was that overseas?
Yeah, no. I started
in the desert.
Kindergarten in the Middle East. We went to a school for kids of missionaries. It was run by some British nuns, and so I started my education there. And then when we moved to Australia, I went to Gatton State School and did my primary schooling there. And then we actually moved to Sydney. My parents did a lot of work with people moving from the Middle East, teaching them English and ministering to them and that sort of thing. And the western suburbs of Sydney really was the ideal place to do that.
Wow.
There is a huge community amongst the Middle East and people in Sydney, Western Sydney, so that's where we sort of set up shop there through my high school years.
So your teenage years were in amidst that environment. How was that?
Yeah, very different. I certainly, you know, the school that I went to in Sydney was very, very multicultural, and there were very few actual just born and bred Australians, and even I myself wasn't born in Australia.
Yeah.
So, I grew up really appreciating lots of different cultures. One of my best friends was Lebanese, and my other best friend was Korean, and another one was Russian, and so, yeah, we certainly grew up with a lot of amazing food around us and a lot of vibrant cultures around us.
And obviously with what your parents were doing, Christianity was a key part of that time of your life?
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly being a pastor's kid, I know that, and even more so a missionary's kid, people who are listening in who are children of missionaries can definitely relate that you certainly grow up with a lot of expectation around your behaviour and that sort of thing, which in teenage years is certainly tested and tried. Through it all, I'm really grateful for my parents' faith that they've instilled in me. And I can look back now, my teenage years when I went through all the rebellion and everything. And I think I offer help to and hope to parents of rebellious teenagers and young and early 20s, because I was that child sort of rebelling against my faith and then rediscovered it in my early 20s through a really tough experience when my best friend took her own life.
Really?
And it really made me, you know, when I was thinking about her the night that I got the news, and I thought, you know what, at some point, every single one of us is going to discover the secrets of eternity and what really happens when we close our eyes for the last time. And it just hurt me inside to think that she was anywhere else but somewhere beautiful and amazing. And it made me think of myself, well, where am I going now, mm-hmm. you know, at this point in my life when I've run away from God? And it really woke me up and made me want to rediscover my faith for myself and not just living through my parents' faith.
So where did that rediscovery take you?
Well, I connected with a great church in Sydney, St. Matthias, and I met some amazing people there who took me under their wings and mentored me and helped me through some sort of tough things in my life I needed to work through and make mm-hmm. peace with. And I discovered a really personal, beautiful relationship with Jesus that I've been blessed to be able to take that through with me through the rest of my life. And you make mistakes along the way and you do silly things and that sort of thing, but you know, I've always felt this Jesus really close to me and looking out for me and just little things that happen, and you can just see God's footprint in your life throughout your life, even when you're trying to run away from him. He's still there.
My guest on Vision's Morning Cafe this morning is Annette Spur. She's with mumdaily.com.au as a blog writer. She also works with Blue Box Media. And we've just been hearing about Annette's early days of being born in the Middle East, raised as a missionary kid, pastor's kid, living in Sydney, having come to Australia at the age of about 6 years old. Let's find out a little bit more about Annette's move then away from Sydney.
Just after my 22nd birthday, I just felt like I just wanted to get out. I wanted a fresh start. I wanted a new beginning, leave behind the pain of the past, of the loss of my best friend and that sort of thing, and just wanted to find some peace again. And my parents actually lived in Brisbane, and so they had moved to Brisbane a few years before, mm-hmm. and I was either going to move to Brisbane or Melbourne, and I decided on Brisbane because I could stay with Mum and Dad while I got myself set up and found a job and a place to live and all that sort of thing.
Yep,
so
nice.
Yeah, just happened to be. And that was, gosh, I can't do the math, but it was,
that's okay.
It was 2000 uh-huh. when I moved, so 14 years. Gosh.
So what's your thing? I mean, you went to uni, you studied what?
I studied IT multimedia.
Uh-huh.
And so I actually was working for a web design company for a few years as their creative director. And then they were actually going through some financial troubles, and one of the managers confided in me, said, look, if I was you, I would look for a job elsewhere. This isn't going to last for much longer.
He was honest.
I was really blessed he did that. And at the time, there was a local Christian radio station in Brisbane that was looking for sales reps, and it wasn't even on the radar for me. And then probably three people, different people, approached me and said, hey, I've heard that this 96.5 in Brisbane is looking for sales reps. You'd be perfect for that. I thought, really? Sales? but, you know, through their persistence, they really felt that I should apply for this job. And so I did. And I got this job at this Christian radio station in Brisbane. And lo and behold, sharing desk space with this young fellow called Phil. And he was the old dog on the block. He was the, you know, the sales expert, and I was the new kid on the block who didn't really know what I was doing. So I would bother him a lot, just asking questions, and then the questions just turned into conversation. And before too long, we were really close friends. And almost a year to the day of when we met, we were married.
Ah,
and
really?
And actually, Matt from your Brekkie show was the MC at our wedding, and he was our boss too.
And now I've got to tell you, I don't know if I've told you this before, the first time I met Matt Prater was with your husband, Phil Spur. It was on the Gold Coast at the local Juice FM radio station down there. And, just the whole understanding of media sales can be a tough gig.
Yeah.
But, gee, you meet the most crazy people.
Yeah. You meet some real characters working in radio, that's for sure.
So we have a connection, of course, with Matt and, yeah. and with Phil, and I understand now, Phil and yourself, Blue Box Media is a big part of your world?
Yeah, absolutely. That was a vision that Phil had when he was studying at uni. He God laid this on his heart to start an advertising agency with a heart to build Christian media across Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So that was his vision, and so when we met at 96.5, my gifts really complemented his, because I came from the whole creative perspective, a writer and a designer and that sort of thing, whereas he has the sales and marketing expertise, and you know he's amazing at what he does, and so it was just this marriage made in heaven, quite literally, and so Blue Box Media was born. And so, you know, he looks after the business side of things and I look after the creative side of things. And, you know, we both love what we do and we love working with Christian media across Australia and doing some amazing things, building the kingdom around the country.
And now for those who have heard our conversations previously, they'd be aware that you have two gorgeous boys.
Mm.
How old are they now?
Tyson's 3.5 and Jack will be 2 on the 22nd of February.
Oh, it's a birthday coming up. Happy yes. birthday, little guy.
Thank
you. Now, I'm sure they have their favourite TV shows at their age at yes. the moment. I'm actually interested to ask you, based on something you sent to me about a week or so ago, what was your favourite TV show when you were growing up?
Yeah, it was hands down Full House all the way.
Uh-huh.
I grew up watching Full House from, you know, the first season and absolutely loved it. And Candace Cameron, who plays DJ Tanner, the oldest of the three sisters, is the same age as me. So I literally grew up with Candace Cameron throughout every season. We were going through the same stages in life together.
Mm-hmm. So a beautiful, confident woman, yes. happily married for 18 years to the yes. same man, three yes. gorgeous kids.
Mm.
Tell us about, the whole scathing article that was recently written.
Yeah. I hadn't heard much about Candace Cameron lately. And then I read this article on Mamma Mia recently that media commentator Emma Shiano wrote. And I was really quite taken aback by her comments, but it did remind me of how I felt when I first heard about the subject. Candace Cameron, happily married for 18 years, three gorgeous kids, and she's written a couple of books, and in her latest book she attributes the happiness of her marriage to the fact that she has made the decision to be a submissive wife and
mm-hmm.
submit to her husband. And she said it works for them. She leaves, you know, the big decisions, she respects his authority, and you know that it leads to happiness and bliss in their marriage, and so she's really happy with it. But M. Rusciano, who, as a side note, is newly divorced, was asking the question: well, what would you know about being happily married, and isn't being a submissive wife, you know, isn't that from thousands of years ago, and it's not really relevant today? You know, what do you know anyway, sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
and. As I was reading it, it took me back on my journey through first discovering about the whole subject of Ephesians 5, which talks about wives being submissive or submitting to their husbands, as you know, that Christ is the head of the church, so is the husband the head of the family, and that sort of thing. And I remember when I was sort of new in rediscovering my faith in my early 20s, and I was talking with a girlfriend who was about to get married, and someone sort of jokingly said to her, oh, are you going to be an Ephesians 5 wife? Ha, ha, ha. And I said, oh, what does that mean?
Uh-huh.
And then she explained, well, it means that, you know, I'm submit to my husband. He's the leader of our home. And, you know, she was quite calm about it. And she was someone that I really respected as well. And I was absolutely gobsmacked. And I thought, you are a strong, independent woman,
yeah.
perfectly capable of running her own life.
Just like yourself.
What was that, sorry?
Just like yourself.
Just like me.
Yes.
Why on earth would you, you know, make someone else the boss of you? That doesn't make any sense to me. And the whole thing infuriated me. And it was almost a deal breaker in my faith because I was such a strongly independent woman. And I thought, this is outrageous. I was like, God, how could you sneak this in there and put women in this box? But, you know, over the years, as I saw it played out well in marriages around me. It made sense to me, and so I now understand it, and I live it out in my marriage. I don't always get it right, that's for sure. But, you know, I wanted to race to Candace Cameron's defence and say, hey, you know what, after 18 years of marriage, maybe she's got this right. Maybe she's onto something here.
My special guest on Vision's Morning Cafe today is Annette Spur. We've been chatting with her. She's from mumdaily.com.au, also from Blue Box Media. Hearing a little bit about her story, having been born and raised in the Middle East, coming to Australia, growing up in her teenage years in Sydney, meeting her husband Phil in the media and advertising industry, getting married and learning to surrender her fiercely independent nature. Let's hear her thoughts now on being a surrendered wife, what it means to be submissive.
I was talking about this recently, actually, and what submission actually really means. And someone explained it far better than I could, that the Greek word for submission in the scripture doesn't have the same meaning as it does in the English variant of submissive. So when we talk about someone being submissive, we think of passive and weak and, you know, and being undermined sort mm-hmm. of thing. Whereas what the word in the Bible actually means is to be devoted and actively loyal to your husband. And I think that's what we should all aspire to in our marriages, really, isn't it? And
Most definitely. And the
husband is the spiritual head of the home, and he creates the spiritual atmosphere in the home, and his job is really to connect everyone in his family to God. And I think that's an incredible aspiration for any husband to have in a relationship, and any father to have for their kids as well. And obviously the mum plays a huge part in that too. And I think, you know, the husband is the head of the home, and the wife is the heart of the home. And, you know, but together it's an incredible team. And I think I always talk about marriage as a team sport. And that makes hubby team captain, and I'm his right-hand girl, and everyone knows their roles. It doesn't mean that my role is any less important than his, and far from it. We are a team, and I don't need to be micromanaged through every decision. But he is our team leader, and he does an incredible job of helping us all to connect in our relationship with God.
Yeah, I know. I think it's Mark 3 something, where it says a house divided cannot stand. I actually remember chatting with you with Matt a little while ago, and I remember you told us about a favourite song that you have by Reliant K.
Yeah.
Must Have Done Something Right.
Yeah.
Why is that such a great song for you?
Yeah, I think if someone made a soundtrack for our marriage, that one would definitely be on it. Because the opening line is, we should get jerseys because we make a good team.
Ooh, I love it.
And that really sums it up. You know, I think in marriage you're a team, and you need to be a team player and realise that, hey, it's not all about me. It's how can I bring out the best in my partner, and not what can my partner do for me, but what can I do to make their life brighter today and help them to be a better person. And that's really what marriage is all about. The song really, I always jump up and down in my seat when I hear it playing, because it's such a happy tune and such great lyrics as well. And I think it, you know, for any marriage, I think you should add this to the soundtrack to your marriage and just play it every now and then, just to remind yourself that you're in this together. Whatever happens, we're in this thing together. And we often say that to each other through the good times, and, you know, when things aren't going great and different, you know, something's happened in the business or something like that. Say, hey, you know what? Whatever happens, we're in it together. We're a team.
And I know for sure it's jolly hard work. It's not all roses and sunshine. But to finish off, Annette, some tips for being a good player in our marriages. Just give us an overview. What would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, first of all, as I said before, hey, remember, it's not all about you. Marriage isn't all about what can I get out of this. How, you know, if everyone wakes up in the morning and says, how can I make the world a better place for someone today?
Oh, nice.
Starting with your partner. You know, imagine the utopia around us if we all had that attitude. And I think it's really important to be your partner's biggest fan and to cheer them on and to know what their goals are and to do whatever you can to help them achieve their goals. Whenever my hubby kicks a goal, I'm always the first person that he calls to celebrate with, and I love that.
Yeah,
and
go girl.
Same for me too. And third of all is listening. Listening is such a key in communication, and making sure that your partner knows that they're being listened to and knows that they're being heard as well, because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, and that's when people start listening to you. And so it's hearing and making your partner know that they've been heard and understood as well. And also remembering you are a team, but you're not the coach.
You can't have two coaches.
Yeah, that's right.
Someone's got to give.
So work as a team and be a team player and do whatever you can for the harmony of the team and the morale of the team, and check on the glue that's holding you together. What is it that's keeping you together? Because there's so much in the world that's tearing people apart, tearing couples apart, and I see it, you know, so close to home, and even in our neighbourhood, there's separations going on at the moment, and it's absolutely gut-wrenching seeing a family broken apart. And I actually work in real estate as well. I do a lot of writing for real estate agents, and 80% of the homes that I go to visit to write about are they're selling for divorce settlement.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, and walking through the homes and you see, you know, the kids' bedrooms set up, and oh, I'm going to get teary, in pink and blue and butterflies and pink. You know, your world's about to change.
Oh, wow, 80% of the houses being sold today.
Yeah, the ones that I go through, it would be about 80% are a divorce settlement, and it's not the way it's meant to be.
So back to the glue.
Yeah, that's right, the glue. I'm so grateful that we have this incredible glue called our faith that sticks us together, and it's not just my husband and I in our marriage. There's someone greater than us, and that's God that's holding us together.
Yeah.
And if he's the focus in your marriage, you know, he's the strongest glue. Mm. And I have so much peace of mind knowing that, you know, my husband loves God more than he loves me, and he answers to God more, you know, more than he answers to me. And so, you know, his priority is for us all to stand before God on that day and for him to present us all to God on that day.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, Greg and I, we celebrated our 17th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
And at our wedding ceremony, the marriage ceremony itself, a part of it was, you know, the reference in the Bible that talks about a cord of three strands that cannot be broken. And our pastor who addressed our family and friends on the day, he really clearly went through the three C's of marriage. Mm-hmm. He said if you can keep Christ at the head, commitment in there, and communication open, the three C's, Christ, commitment, and communication, then the three strands will remain strong. I know. And I guess I know there's a little phrase that I like, you love, the phrase that says, the best is yet to come.
Yes.
And if we can keep hold of that positivity and that hope, and work towards our part in creating the best for ourselves together as a couple, and our kids and our family,
that's
God will
right.
guide.
Whatever happens in this world, the best is yet to come.
Annette, thank you so much for your time this morning. It's a pleasure chatting to you and to share a cup of coffee. I've been chatting with Annette Spur from Blue Box Media, also mumdaily.com.au. God bless you heaps. Love to Phil and love to your boys. And I look forward to sharing a cuppa and a chat with you again another day.
Absolutely. Thanks. Love to you too.
Like what you've just heard? There's more great podcasts, or you can listen to us live at vision.org.au. And remember, Vision is listener supported. Your donation of any amount will help us continue connecting faith to life. Learn more or donate today at vision.org.au.